Blog Talk Radio.
Israel,
Boker Tov. That's good morning in Hebrew. Boker Tov and Shalom. And welcome to the Wisdom of Torah, sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. Coming to you live from the Bread Basket of Central California, I'm your hostess, Sister Eliana Batya. Today is Wednesday, April 4th, 2012. Today we're going to be finishing Psalm chapter 5. And I just wanted to do a little housekeeping before we begin. If you want to follow us on our blog, please take note. It is freshwindoftorah.blogspot.com. You can join by email. If you want to log in to leave comments, you need to sign in with your email and the password of the email address that you signed in with. We also have a Peltalk chat room called Beth Shalom Mashiach on Peltalk.com. You can go in, add my profile, Batya26, to your messenger, and you'll know when we're in the room. Actually, I'm broadcasting live in my room from Pell Talk as well as the Blog Talk this morning. So if you were to go over to Pell Talk, you would see under my profile, Batya26, and then you'd see in blue underlined Beth Shalom Mashiach, and a person can actually click on that link and listen to the broadcast from there as well. So that's another way. The other thing I want to do is open up in prayer this morning, and I will start. First of all, I just want to say thank you. I'm so privileged again. Every time I get a chance to do a blog or to do a teaching on Blog Talk Radio, I'm excited because I go back later and then I see, you know, that people are listening, maybe not directly at the time I'm broadcasting, but they are listening to the archives, and I've seen those numbers go up, and that really excites me because I know that the Most High called me to start this kind of teaching, and I'm excited that I really heeded the call. And I want to say to anyone out there who feels compelled to really say something on the behalf of the Most High and to really speak to the people of the Most High, go ahead and do it, because there's a scripture that tells us that the fields are white unto harvest. And the harvest is plenteous. This is coming out of the Brit Hadashah, which is the New Covenant or the New Testament. The Brit Hadashah, where Yahushua is speaking to his disciples. And it says the fields are white unto harvest, meaning they're ripe. There's so many people that are ready to hear the good news of the Most High and to be set free from their mental captivity as he prepares us to be set free from our physical captivity. But it says that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So all of the wonderful work and the good teaching that all of the Hebrew teachers are doing, there still needs to be many more jumping into this harvest and trying to help educate and release the mind of the Hebrew people and the people who will sojourn with us, because we all have a different style. So the Most High has to use us all to fish for his sheep. So one person can't do it. We all have to work together, and we may not all agree on the style and the method, but every way the Most High can use us, it's going to produce fruit. It's going to bring someone out of their captivity, their mental bondage, and they will, over time, the Most High will funnel them through several teachers in order to get the perspective, the understanding, and the precept. So this is why there are many more of us needed, and I just encourage you not to feel intimidated. If you had started a blog and you haven't finished, jump back in and, you know, start doing it again, because the Most High is going to require all of us for the Most High to shake his people. We're everywhere, and we're numerous. We're all across the world, and we're all across the U.S. where I'm broadcasting from, and we're in Europe, we're in Africa, we are in China, we're in the islands. I mean, we're everywhere. So it's going to take a lot of voices and a lot of teachings to help the Most High's sons and daughters of Jacob to come back and to repent. So I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage all my brothers and sisters who are teaching, have been doing a wonderful job. And I know it is, you know, it gets lonely sometimes, and also you get discouraged. But be encouraged, because the Most High is using you greatly. He is, you know, people are downloading your shows and they're sharing them. I know I do a lot of that with my brothers and sisters, with my brother Dawid, Jacob Maccabeus. I will listen and I will share it with my children. I'll share it with my family. I'll send out a mass email invite to listen. I do that with my sister Georgia Johnson's program of the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible. I send that out because they are teaching. You know, every person's teaching is unique and different, but they are teaching information that's very, very important for us. And actually, before I pray, that leads me into, I was going to say this after the prayer, but I'm going to go ahead and say this before I begin. I want to encourage everyone listening live or who will listen by archive to go over to the Shabbat show that was done by Brother Dawid Jacob Maccabeus on the HuaNet in Blog Talk, or go to huanet.org. There is a petition that is circulating, and our brother has been given a vision of leadership. And he is actually mobilizing a wonderful effort, a Hebrew council, which is tremendous. It's not just a particular teaching, but this is actually a council. It's a council of leaders. And many of some of the teachers are there. I know that Sister Georgia Johnson is one of the leaders on that council, and many others. So I would like for you guys to go over there and sign the petition. There's a petition of something that's going on right now, or I believe is about to go on in Africa. And if you listen to that Shabbat show, you're going to get a lot of precept and understanding about what was done against us in 1978. A protocol was written against the people, the Hebrew people in the United States of America, and the government did not want us interfacing or interacting with our brothers and sisters on the African continent, because there was some gold or some oil, some resources there that they wanted to tap into that are into the billions of dollars. And as a result, they have done things against us systematically to keep us disinterested in seeking out and fellowshipping with African people on the continent of Africa. So our brother has written and put together a petition to the United States of America, and I believe we all need to sign it. I mean, this is our life we're talking about. This is our future. This is our livelihood, and we have to stand together as a people. So please, if you have not signed that petition, or if you haven't seen it, please go over to that Shabbat show on the 31st of March and go over to Hua, HWUNET, HuaNet, in Blog Talk. Listen to the blog. Listen to everything that our brother is revealing to us. When he first starts out, he's really venting his frustration. He's really angry because not enough people have really signed this petition, and this is a serious matter. But then he gives us encouragement out of Ezekiel 37, talking about the dry bones, and that really blessed me. I was extremely encouraged. I signed the petition early on, but go over there, listen, get the understanding, and go and sign that petition. We really need all of our Hebrew brothers and sisters and family members and people who sojourn with us to go over there and sign that petition and make your voice known. You can't hide anyway, right? We know that we are still feared and hated all over the world, so not signing the petition is not going to save you. Go ahead and sign that petition. Stand up. Be for something. You know, make your voice known. And get it done. Let's just get it done, family. Let's do it. There are a lot of things the Most High is moving quickly in this day. We can't sit back on the sideline. Let's not be spectators. Let's participate. Let's participate in our own deliverance. Let's move forward. That's what he's called us to do. We can't sit back and wait for someone else to do it. We all have to do it. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I was also listening on Shabbat show with Sister Georgia, and one of the other teachers that used to come on a lot with her, Sister Venus, has given birth, and there are some needs over there in that broadcast. And Sister Georgia has created a family community. So our brother Dawid is creating a leadership council, which is family-oriented for us as Hebrew people. But Sister Georgia has created a family community in her show and in her efforts over the years. So we are a family. We need to stick together, just like signing that petition. We need to go over to the Biblical Hebrews, listen to the show, and we need to support Sister Georgia. We need to send some funds over her way because there's, she's sending those funds out to Sister Venus. And there are also needs that her program needs in order to continue to bring the good word to the Hebrew people. So let's participate. Let's be active. Let's be alive. Let's be present in our deliverance, and let's stand together as a people to do everything we can. Because if we don't do it, then who's going to do it? Is Edom going to go over there and support Sister Georgia? Is Edom going to sign the petition? I don't think so. So we have to do this ourselves as the Hebrew people, and we have to commit our resources that we have to our brothers and sisters who are doing a good work. Let's encourage them in the good work that they're doing. I know for me, I was sending on a regular basis, and then I kind of got a little sidetracked. But you know what? I'm always going to Starbucks. No, that's a shame. I can take that money and go ahead and send it to my sister, which I'm going to do. And just support, you know, on a regular basis. That's what it takes for us to move forward. If we have good teaching and we like the teaching and there's a need and we can fill it, it doesn't take a lot. And Sister Georgia, I believe her minimum requirement is $5 a month. I mean, that's not much. But if you have enough people giving $5, that's going to make a tremendous impact. But if you can do more, and we know we can do more because, you know, we'll go out and eat fast food. We'll take ourselves to a restaurant. I mean, we can eat $30 in one meal. We can order at a restaurant or whatever. Or we can, you know, you're not going to ever get a meal anywhere for $5. You're going to get your drink, you're going to get your whatever on the side, and it's going to be about maybe $6 to $12 for you to eat. So that money, you know, you can save a few meals, pack a lunch, and send that money over to our sister, to her program. She has ways when you go on her program, follow. And then you can email her, and if you have PayPal, you can send that funds over to Sister Georgia. So, and join the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible and be a part, be an active part, send your funds and help her and support her because she's doing a tremendous work. And she's also put out some other videos, the Project Dark Age, and she needs help with getting that out. So let's participate, family. This is a great time for our awakening. This is a great time for us to mobilize. Now, this is that proactive spirit. I mean, we're not rioting in the streets. We're not in danger of getting our faces blown off, but we can help our family members. You know, Edom knows that we are a multi-trillion dollar a year source for revenue out of our community. Even the poorest of us on welfare in the ghetto, we are considered to be a multi-trillion dollar a year source for revenue for the world because we buy everything. You know, we buy those expensive Nike shoes. We buy anything new that comes on television, they can get us to buy it. Any new food that's coming out with a fast food restaurant, they can get us to buy it. And we will. And we'll be faithful, loyal, repeated customers. Whether we have children or not, we will find a way to give Edom our money. Let's give our money to our family because our family members that are out there leading and teaching, and we're not talking about Creflo Dollar and all these shysters like that. We're not talking about people like that. We're talking about Hebrew people that are giving their lives and their time and giving up much to bring forth wisdom. And these are my brothers and sisters. These are your brothers and sisters. Let's support our family members. They need our help. And let's get busy and let's get her done. That's what we need to do. Let's just do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. Because where else are you going to spend your money and get relief? You're not going to get it in Edom's camp. He's going to take your money and leave you broke. But with your brothers and sisters that are doing a good work, they're going to bring forth knowledge and truth. And the Most High is going to give them the strategies for our deliverance. So let's support them because they need it. All right. Let me go ahead and start with prayer, but I do want to say that because it's important to my heart and it's important to all of us, whether we understand it or not. If you're new, go back and listen. I mean, our brothers, Brother Dawid, some of the other brothers over there I mentioned on my show, Brother Yahya Bandalay, COFA, C-O-F-A-H Network, go and listen to their teachings. Listen to the biblical Hebrews of the Bible. They're going to give you so much knowledge, and they have been on the blog much longer than I have, so they have shows that go back several years, and you're going to find a lot of precepts. You're going to find a lot of understanding. You're going to find a lot that's going to enhance your life, and it's going to open your eyes to our condition, where we are as a people, and what we need to do. Now, my program is giving you wisdom for daily living on, you know, we're going through the Psalms. We're talking about real issues. I'm not really going and doing all the study and the research back because my brothers and sisters have done that for us. So all we have to do is go back, get the precept, get the understanding, hear what they've done, hours of research. You know, they've done videos. They've been on YouTube. They've had their videos on YouTube. And I understand some of their videos have been canceled. They've done videos on Daily Motion. And they have their websites where their videos are also posted. So go back and do your learning and your research. And take your Bible and your pen and your paper and follow along because they're giving you scriptures. And they will show you every program that they've done has been well-prepared. It's like a well-prepared meal. They didn't rush through it. They stayed up late. They did their work. They did their notes. And then they have show notes. So you can get so much understanding. If anybody is listening to any of those shows and you still are ignorant about who you are and why you need to be in a place of repentance before the Most High as a Hebrew person, or as a person from the other communities who will want to sojourn with us. If you have listened to these programs and all the deep research that my sisters and brothers have done, and you still are confused, then there's really a problem, a mental cognitive problem that the Most High can heal you of. And if you go over to Sister George's program, Sister Jennifer does a deliverance. So if you can't get it, Go over to that program, listen to Sister Jennifer Cafe, call her on the show, and she will help you get delivered. She will help you unlock your mind so that you can understand what the Most High is really saying. Because I know that Sister Georgia has done a tremendous work, and she breaks it down. It's so plain that even a child can understand it. But I understand that there could be a mental problem there that will keep you from really getting it. So there may be another spiritual situation that you're facing. So I would recommend you go over and listen to Sister Jennifer's program and get delivered from that, get that spirit cast out of you so you can understand where the Most High is leading his people and you can jump into the program. So I wanted to say all that because I support the work that my brothers and sisters are doing, and I know that they are helping the Most High in being faithful in their vineyard to release the information and to help to set the captives free, to move forward, and to help the Hebrew people gain understanding. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and pray. And Most High, I just want to thank you so much. I just want to thank you for today. And I just want to say, Baruch Atah Yahuwah Melech HaOlam, which means, blessed are you, Yahuwah, King of the universe. Bless your children with your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, today and every day. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to know the depth of your Torah. Let your Torah be planted in us as a seed that will take root within us and germinate and grow into a mighty tree of life bearing much fruit. Give us wisdom and precept and understanding. It has been a long road. There has been so much darkness around your people, but there is light shining through your faithful sons and daughters of Jacob, who are teaching, who are moving forward, who are revealing the truth of your word, who are revealing to us hidden mysteries that are for us to know. And they're doing it through their programs, through their teaching, and giving us the right understanding of your word, your Kadosh Torah, your holy Torah. So we as your people, as the descendants of Jacob, the sons and daughters who are returning in our mental awareness and in our spiritual awareness back to you, we can understand how to attain proper salvation by applying the wisdom that we are learning from our teachers. I just want to thank you today for an opportunity to add to that knowledge and share and to help in this vineyard, in this great work. And I just give you praise and glory and honor in Yahushua's precious Kadosh name. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, well, we're going to go ahead we're going to start reading Psalms 5 again. And I want to apologize on my Monday broadcast. I had used Skype for the first time. I was so excited. I did my mic check, and Skype was working fine. And I was just so excited because I said I can free up my phone. And my husband had some people come over and work on, we had a problem with the plumbing. I thought they might call around 8. They just showed up, but I thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to use Skype. And I started broadcasting on Skype, and the first 25 minutes sounded like I was an alien from another planet. And I couldn't believe it. I didn't even know that this was going on until I went back and listened to the archive. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So I had to put a little disclaimer on, I edited the title a little bit in the wording, and I put a little disclaimer in there that says, if you want to go back and listen to that Monday show, I found out when you're going back to listen to archive shows, you can actually click in the little bar, and you can advance it to, and it'll show you what time you're in. So you can advance it to, I think it's 25 minutes and 3 seconds or something, but after that, it, for the rest of the show, it actually played well because Skype kicked me out. And when they kicked me out, I decided to not call back through Skype but to use the phone. And so now I learned, you know, we've all had a lot of problems with Blog Talk. And what I'm discovering is that if you're using a landline that works really well, that's probably the best. And for me, Skype doesn't work. And it just could be my location because where I live is on a 35-acre almond ranch in the Central Valley, and I don't have good coverage with internet, and Skype is an internet product, so, you know, I can't even use my cell phone at home because of that. So, it could have just been me, you know, my technology is not flowing because I don't live within the city. I live 2 miles outside of a very small town in the Central Valley. And everybody in town has really good service, but we can only get satellite for internet. So we can't even get regular Comcast, AT&T. We can't get any of that. We just, we have to use satellite, and then it gives us so much bandwidth a month. And if we go over that, we're stuck for like 24 hours, and then it reboots. So we're kind of rural where we are, but I won't use Skype again for a broadcast because it didn't work well, and I was not aware that it came out with this gibberish. But after 25 minutes or so, it picks up. So we live, the living is the learning, my mother always says, and it's true. We live and we learn and we make mistakes and we bounce back. So that's what happened. If anybody is wondering, if you tried to listen to that program and you didn't get through or you couldn't hear me, it's because of that. Anyway, moving on today, we're going to go ahead. I'm going to start reading Psalm 5 again. And what you didn't hear on Monday's program, I was using the International Inductive Study Bible, which is good. And I use a lot of different versions because I'm a little bit of a linguist. I speak a lot of different languages, and I kind of like the flow of how things read in certain translations. For me, that's important, the essence, the mood, and the feel of how a thing is coming across more than just the 1611 King James Version with the Apocrypha, because it had the apocryphal books in it. So for me, I'm gonna go through different versions, and if I feel a ruach saying this is the way I want it to come across, I'm gonna do that. But I do respect and honor the King James 1611. But I'm looking for something a little bit older that is more closer to the true Hebrew scrolls. I am learning Hebrew, but I'm looking for something a little bit closer. 1611 is around the time of our captivity, so that is too new for me. It's too modern, even though it did contain the apocryphal writings. I think that's one of the reasons why many of our Hebrew teachers prefer that version, because you will find those apocryphal books in there before they were taken out. Okay, so let me go forward here with Psalm 5, or in Hebrew, Tehillim. Tehillim. The Psalms are called the Tehillim, and that's a plural word in Hebrew. And I'm going to be reading Tehillim 5. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Most High. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my Yah. For to thee do I pray. In the morning, O Yah, thou would hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to thee and eagerly watch. For thou art not a Yah who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with thee. The boastful shall not stand before thine eyes. Thou dost hate all who do iniquity. Thou dost destroy those who speak falsehood. The Most High abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by thine abundant loving kindness I will enter thy house. At thy holy temple I will bow in reverence for thee. O Yahuwah, lead me in thy righteousness because of my foes. Make thy way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O Most High. By their own devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against thee. But let all who take refuge in thee be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. And mayest thou shelter them, that those who love thy name may exalt in thee. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Most High. Thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield." Oh, that's such a powerful psalm. On Monday, I was just talking about, I was precepting it with Job 20. And we read through, and I'm sure if you listen past that 25 minutes, I did go into Job and we read through it. And Job was confirming a lot of this psalm and how the wicked, the things that they do, they go in and they take houses. And I spent a little bit of time talking about how they, go in and the mortgage crisis, which sums up what has happened and what the scripture was talking about, how they use deceit and trickery to rob the people, the innocent people, the people of the Most High, the people who sojourn with us, some of the people in the nations who, they really are not Edom or Edomites or Amalekites, but they're just the nations, and they are here, and they get the short end of the stick too. Now, we know we, as Hebrew people, we get a triple blow because we're the children of the Most High. They know that. And they're using the precept that the Most High punished us and allowed us to be brought into captivity, our forefathers, which then, in turn, we grew up into the diaspora and into our condition of Egypt, a condition of slavery. So they used that. They play on it because they knew that we would discontinue from our inheritance, and they knew we would not know who we were over a certain amount of generations. We know that the original ancestry that were taken in the transatlantic slave trade back in the 1600s, they knew they were Hebrews. They brought with them Zion songs, and they transmitted that knowledge through the telling of stories because they didn't have the Torah with them at the time. They didn't have all the writings of the prophets, which are the make up the Tanakh, and they didn't have the Tehillim to sing songs of praise, but they had the knowledge within them. And so they transmitted our ancestry and our history, and the fact that they had transgressed, or our forefathers had transgressed, that brought them into the condition of slavery. But over several generations, of course, that information became dimmer and dimmer as the older ones died off. That information began to wane. And as the Most High said, we discontinued from our inheritance. We forgot. The next succeeding generation didn't know. And it was amazing because I was on the phone with Kaviva last night, and she we were over in looking into Second Esdras. And one of the things that we were discovering and learning was that in Second Esdras, around chapter, we were into chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14, and we were all over the place in that. But one of the things that happened is that the Most High told Esdras to, you know, get his affairs in order because he was going to take him out, you know, of the world. He was going to bring him into his final rest. And Esdras had been teaching the Hebrew people. And Esdras had asked a question. He said, if you take me out, what's going to happen to the next generation? Who is going to instruct them? And the Most High said, you know, to write it down. So Esdras prepared and wrote down the information so he could instruct the children of Jacob, the descendants of Jacob, who would be coming up. And it also mentioned something about the end times. Now, that's another story, study I'm going to do with Kaviva, because she's like a historian. She just digs in, and she gets so excited. I love how when she starts teaching, she really gets excited, you know. She goes into it, and she'll start praising the Most High, and she's also filled with the Ruach, and she may even start speaking in tongues. I mean, she really loves the Most High, and it's so evident, and she's so powerful in her delivery. And so, but we are going to probably do a teaching on the Book of Daniel, because it talks about, and Esdras was actually the brother to Daniel, and the Most High told him, gave him the interpretation of the visions of Daniel that the Most High did not give to Daniel. So as we were going back and forth in this study, we were just like, wow, you know, we were just, whew, it was exciting. So I want to bring that forth on a different show, not on our Psalm series, but I think it's real important for us to understand, because it's just like the time right now. Remember, the Most High had told Daniel, seal some things up because they are not for you, Daniel. They are for the time of the end, which pertains to us. He said, but you shall sleep with your people. You're going to go to sleep with your people. In your day, it's going to be well. But he was talking about the future generations of Israel, the sons of Jacob, which are in our times now. So his brother Esdras got the interpretation. But just as he said, the future generation, the young generation, doesn't know the Most High. Now, this, we can see that what happened to us when our forefathers, when our ancestors through this time from slavery were brought over, they were sorrowful. They hadn't been keeping the things of the Most High. Of course, you know that, because they were taken into captivity. But just like our day right now, we have so many people in our community that are not even listening to, you know, have no religious background in religious instruction of any kind, whether it's the false, you know, religion that we were all brought up in, or whether they're coming to the knowledge of being a Hebrew. Some have actually been turned off. You know, they were recruited by some of the street teachers and preachers, and they were out there, you know, explaining that they were the Hebrew people, but they were doing it with such a violence and such a zeal and without understanding. They have a zeal of the Most High, but without understanding. Now, they do their precept, and they have understood who we are, but when I say without understanding, what I'm really talking about is they should understand by now and know. The Most High said when we were turned in our captivity, we were not to hate our oppressor. You know, these guys want to start a race war. So, of course, they don't have the proper understanding because Edom was just a rod of correction for us. And the Most High was yielding the rod. So we don't know that by now as Hebrew people, and we still want to go out there and kill and bomb Edom, then we still don't understand. Because we have to understand that the Most High allowed all this cruelty, and it's written. It's already written for us in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and in Isaiah and many other places in Scripture. The Father said he was going to do these things. So if we don't if we haven't really fully grasped that concept, that we're dealing with the Father here and not Edom, not the Amalekites, they are only the tool that he brought against us. And they have a time that he's going to deal with them and work on them. See, Edom is our brother. That's one thing. You know, Esau and Jacob were brothers. And they may have been from two different seeds, but they came through one womb. So that made them brothers. They were two different, distinct nations. And we know that. If we've been sitting with our teachers and we've been understanding our precepts, then we know that Edom is our brother. And the Most High said, don't hate your brother. So we can't go out and blow Edom to bits because he's our brother. And this is really hard for us because, you know, it's hard for us to receive Edom like that. But Edom is our brother, and that's just no way around it. We can't get angry with Edom. We have to repent. See, he used Edom to come against us. He used the Amalekites to come against us. Now, they're not our brother, but they're part of Edom. They became part of Edom. So what are we really saying? We're saying that if we want to get Edom off our back, if we want to get the Amalekites off our back, we need to come right to the Most High. We need to repent. And that's the only way we're going to lift this type of oppression that is upon us, because this is what the Most High himself used. So better than us being angry with Edom, we should be angry with the Most High. But then will we be justified in our anger of the Most High? No. Because he's holy. He's kadosh. He's holy. He's righteous. He wanted us to be kadosh, set apart, holy, righteous. We wanted to be like the nations. Now, the nations are pagan. They're not kadosh, they're not set aside, and they're not holy. But we were. So if we want to get angry, we got to stop, and we have to use our minds. We have to think here. Who are we mad at? Yeah, Edom has done a lot of filthy, rotten, cruel, hurtful, mean, dirty, underhanded, wicked things against us. And the Most High's got that, too. He sees it. It's been recorded. He's going to deal with it. But when is he going to stop them? When is he going to stop Edom in their tracks? When the sons of daughter and daughters of Jacob come back right. That's when he's going to do it. When we get right, that's when he's going to stop them. So we want to be right real quick. We really want to get right, like really, like today, because we want them to stop. We want to move on, and we want to be a people. And that's what we're all saying. When I listen to any of my brothers and sisters teaching, this is what I really hear, the underlying cry. We want Edom to stop. We want to stop this oppression. We want to break free, but we can't break free until we come and do righteousness with the Most High. When we repent, when we say, okay, our forefathers did this. So this, I say this over and over again because it's hard for us. When someone has wronged you, or for example, I'm going to use a real human example. Kaviva is my sister. She's my real sister, and she's older than I am. And when we were growing up, because of, you know, she's several years older, she was old enough at the time when we were kids, that sometimes my parents would put her and my older brother in charge. And my older brother was kind of, you know, he was a fun-loving guy, you know, but Kaviva had to do more of the tasks. So she had to cook, she had to clean, she had to make sure we were dressed and ready. and she had to make sure the house was okay. So what would happen is when, you know, we were younger, there was three of us that were younger, you know, to the point where when, you know, your kids, 6, 7, 8 years difference, that's a big difference when you're children. You know, when you're adults, it's not that much. I mean, you know. But when you're kids, because the older children are taller, you know, and they have, and the little kids, you know, coming up a little smaller, little sprouts. And so an older, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-old older sibling is almost like a miniature parent in a sense. So Kaviva had this responsibility. My older brother really wasn't doing it. You know, he'd be joking. What he liked to do is we'd run by and she'd be cooking. You know, she'd be getting things ready from the parents. And my older brother, we'd run by, and he'd be sitting on the couch, and he would grab us in his legs. And knew we were little, we'd squirm, and we'd start crying, and we'd start calling Kaviva, oh, he got us in his legs. And he's laughing, you know, he's laughing. He's older than Kaviva, so he's laughing, ha, 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 teenager, you know, and we're screaming. And she would come out and say, let those kids go. And, you know, he wouldn't, and they'd have a little argument, and then he'd finally get mad, and he'd let us go. But we never could pass by older brother without him grabbing us with his legs and twisting us around and doing the little, you know, knuckle thing to our head, and we're screaming, you know. We're all just like, and he really wasn't hurting us. It was just the fact that he was an older guy and older brother, and, you know, he was like what my mother would say, mannish. He would just tease us. He would do it when my mom was home, too. My mom would be cooking. We'd try to come and see her. We had to pass by the couch, and there we would go. And my mom would just come out with some kind of spoon and get him, you know, and he'd let us go. But he loved it. He thought it was funny. You know, he would do things like with spiders. Me and my sister, younger sister, we'd sit down and we'd play with our dolls, and our older brother would come up behind us and drop a spider, plastic or rubber spider, and we'd freak out, and he would just laugh, you know. He thought it was funny, my older brother, you know, just loved the tease. So sometimes Kaviva had to be put in a position of chastisement. Now, that really wasn't her role, but sometimes she had to do it, so she had to kind of yield the heavy hand of the leather belt on her younger brothers and sisters. And so we didn't like that, you know, but she was, you know, she was our older sister, so we didn't, but we didn't like that. We were going to get a spanking from our sister. And, but we didn't see it like that because she was older. We respected it. We didn't want to do it. But she would also kind of tease, too. She was really fun. We had a lot of fun because she had a, she would say she was going to get a belt that had holes in it. And then she was going to spank us, and it sucks the meat as it pops. And we would freak out. She would say that, like, when we had our friends over, and we'd all run outside screaming, and she'd laugh. And she never, you know, she never hit us with a belt like that. But sometimes she would have to tap us. You know, she'd have to put us in line because we were a lot younger, and we had to, we'd mess up the house, and we knew our parents were coming home, but that's the time we wanted to take all the toys out. And she had already cleaned, and she was like, what are you guys doing? I want you guys to get this up. And we would, you know, kind of rebellious because we knew she was our sister only, so we were going to give her a little lip flack. And she would come in there with that little, you know, she would spank us and make us clean up. But once we got that little spanking, we did the work. We did it because we knew our parents were not going to be pleased, that we just tore up the whole house. So this is what I'm saying. This is what Edom did. Edom is our older brother. But they went too far. The Most High used Edom. And they went too far. He also used some of the nations. And we know this because it's in Psalms 83. And it's in different places where the nations have come together against us. But for our brother Edom, he went too far in his what the Father had called him to do, and all the nations that the Father brought against us, they all went too far. They all went overboard. They thought, oh, my goodness, wholesale, we can treat these people like we want. First of all, they convinced themselves that we weren't even human. That was the number one deception, that we were animals and that they could treat us like animals and mistreat us cruelly. And then they went too far, you know. Then they said we were part human, or you know, they just were crazy. They just lost their mind because not only was it that they were losing their control in terms of the way the Most High wanted to use them to oppress us so we could get some sense in our minds and come back right to the Most High, but then we know we had the adversary. We had Hasatan, Satan, the serpent, playing on them. And in Jude, we hear this. It says, let me go over there real quick. In Jude, it talks about evil men and seducers getting worse and worse. deceiving and being deceived. So while Edom was being deceived to think that they were all that and more, they had puffed themselves up because they had a power over the Hebrew. They were also being deceived by the enemy, the wicked one. He was deceiving them and telling them how to treat us cruelly. Now, that goes back to Genesis and the enmity between the two seeds. So here's a perfect opportunity for our adversary to work through our brother to oppress and destroy and to cruelly kill us and to maim us, to rape us, to beat us, to burn us, to lynch us, to all that they have done, experiment on us, germ warfare, disease, you know, all the stuff that they've done. They were being deceived by the wicked one. Okay? And so here we have a great problem. The Most High is going to straighten it out. But all to say, if the Hebrew people had been a people of obedience, we never would have got into this place in the first place. This all hinges on our disobedience. This all hinges on our failure, on the failure of our forefathers to remain obedient to the Most High. And we today, we see our condition, and we still, many of us still don't know how to get relief out of our condition. And the Most High has written it in his book. That's why you need to listen to the teachers. You need to go over to Sister George's program and listen and learn and get the precept, get the understanding, get the full story, the full picture, get a clear understanding. Go over and listen to Brother Dawid Maccabeus. He's done a wonderful amount of teaching as well, a lot of research. So when you get this kind of knowledge within yourself, the first thing we want to do is go tell all of our family, oh, I found out I'm Hebrew. No. That's not the first thing we need to do. The first thing we need to do once we get the precept and the knowledge and the understanding is get somewhere quiet by yourself, and you need to start to repent. You need to repent, and you need to come before the Most High, and you need to acknowledge the sins of your forefathers, our forefathers. Because we all need to do this individually, and then we need to do it collectively. I believe there may come a time that all the, you know, a lot of the Hebrew camps will come together, and many of the teachers will come together, and the Most High will put that in us, that we need to have a corporate repentance. You know, and it may be done at a camp setting. It may be done at a hotel setting. I'm not sure. But I do know that as a Hebrew people, as a group, we do need to come together. We need to repent. We need to acknowledge who we are before the Most High. And we need to love each other. That's another part of the curse. We don't love each other like we should. We only love people that are part of our little clique and camp. And that's not what the Most High wants. That's another level of maturity, though, we're not quite ready for. But we should be moving toward that. So I can love, if I don't agree with a brother's teaching, that doesn't mean I don't have to love my brother. You know, in the church, they used to teach this wicked little doctrine. I have to love you, but I don't have to like you. That's a lie. That's a lie. How do you can't love somebody and not like them. That's a lie. And that's the kind of lies that they were teaching the people to keep them bound. You have to love your brother but don't like him. What kind of craziness? Because if you read through the Tanakh, it talks about being available to your brother to help him with his needs and his wants. If I don't like you, you might have a need for food, but you might want a Starbucks. And if I don't like you, I think I'm going to deceive myself by saying, well, I'll take you to the grocery store, honey, and I'll buy you some food, but I'm not buying you no Starbucks. You don't need that. Well, you want it. See, with my family, we love each other and we like each other. And if we get mad at each other and we fall out, we just fell out. We got to, like, you know, we got to get glad. We have to make ourselves glad. We have to come back and repent, because I don't feel right when in my natural family there's a breach between me and my brothers and sisters or my parents or my children or something. I don't feel right. I can't sleep knowing that they're sitting over there stewing and I caused the problem or they caused it in me, but we have too much pride to go to each other. I can't sleep. So the Most High is saying for us, we need to love each other and we need to like each other. We need to get to know each other. We need to get to know our sisters and our brothers. He made us all unique and different. So just because you don't do it like me doesn't mean I don't have to like you because of your difference. I could learn so much from you. I can improve. There might be things I'm struggling with, but if I get to know my brothers and sisters, you might say one word that will unlock something that's been in my mind for a long, long time. So we need to stop with that foolishness because he's testing us in every area. We need to love each other and like each other. We need to get to know each other, and we need to acknowledge each other. We need to support each other. We need to build each other up. We should never be broadcasting anything over the airwaves where we're calling each other by words and making fun of each other. That's evil. That's still coming from our oppression. That's coming out of our ignorance. We should never do it. And we should never do it behind closed doors. If we don't understand something, we should go to the Most High and say, Father, I really didn't understand where my brother and sister was coming from. And we need to pray. And we need to pray for ourselves, and we need to pray for our brother and sister. And then the Most High will say, let me tell you, I have given them another level of understanding. You're not there yet, but I'll bring you up to that point. And then when he reveals it to us, then we can appreciate our brother and sister more. Because you have to remember, all the teachers that are out here right now, they are seeking the Most High. And the Most High is revealing to them what they need to be teaching based on the people he is sending to listen to them. So we might think, oh, the Most High is only focusing on fingernails. And he says, no, I'm focusing on toes. This with this group, because they all are coming with a toe problem, and my teacher here is teaching them how to get their toes in order. Now another teacher might be talking about the ear, but it's going to make the whole body of Jacob whole. So just because we don't understand something about one of our teachers or a teacher or brother and sister we may or may not follow, it doesn't mean we have to fall out, because we have to remember, this is not the work of a man. This is not the work of an individual, that someone came up with a good idea and said, come on, y'all, let's become the Hebrew people. No, this is the work of the Most High, who is waking up his sleeping descendants, dead children, waking us back to life. Remember, in Ezekiel 37, he was talking about the dry bones, and you can get a little bit more precept on that in Brother Dawid's program on his Shabbat show, so go over there and hear it. But the dry bones, and read it for yourself. He's going to do something with these bones. We're all considered dry bones to the Most High. That means we were once alive, and then somehow we died. We know we died through our slavery system that we went through, and now he's putting us back together. He's talking about resurrection. He's talking about life after death. He's talking about restoration of the people. So this is what we have to understand, and the Most High has given to our teachers this information. So love your teachers, support your teachers. Don't fall out with your teachers. Please don't fall out with your teachers and go back into bondage in your mind and captivity. There's nothing out there for you. Please don't do that, because just because you don't have it, and if you feel like you can teach better than your teacher, then get your own Broad Talk show. And you'll find out that you can't teach better than your teacher, because you need your teacher to help you along the way. I'm listening to all my teachers. You know, I go back and listen, and then I get encouraged to do this show because of their work, because they have put forth the effort. And they've been doing a lot longer than me. I'd be a fool to think, oh, I'm such a great teacher because I just paid for the account and said, I'm going to do his teaching. That's foolishness. I will never know the depth of what Sister Georgia knows or what Brother Dawid knows, because they've been in the trenches longer than me. I'm learning from them. I'm still their students. And all the students to all the teachers that the Father has put in my path, I'm just adding, I'm just sharing this that he has put on my heart. But the knowledge and depth that they have, I would have to do so many years of research and study to come up with that. And that's foolishness. We have to stop thinking in competition with each other, family. We have to remember that we're all waking up and learning, and the Father has chosen those to go before us and to help us. They've cleared a path. And they had teachers. And they cleared a path so we can come into learning. So what we think is so easy is not so easy. But we have to love and respect and support our family because they're our teachers and they're our family members. They are our part of us. They are part of the household of Jacob. And if they are out there in the trenches giving us this knowledge, then we are in the trenches too. So we all have to bring our resources together. We have to support each other, and we have to stand together because we are one people. I'm telling you, Edom and the nations, they see us as one people. If they take our brothers and sisters down, they're coming after us too. You're not hiding by not supporting or you don't want to be associated. You are just as much of the household of Jacob as we are, as they are. And you're not hiding. So stand up, be for something, be more, be greater. Put yourself out there. Put yourself out there and take a stand because it's needed. I mean, if you don't, the Most High will raise up someone else who will. But this is for your generation, too. This is for your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Because when he brings us out of this captivity, we're all going to come out. We're all coming out, and our kids, our grandkids, and our future generations. So let me go. I had found Job. Jude. And I had wanted to say, I wanted to read this really quick. And I'm just going to read it because Jude is real short. But it's the precept that I'm bringing out of this is this. The Edom was deceived as well. Our fathers and forefathers were deceived too, because we were following not the Most High, but the ways of the nations, the pagans, and all of their corruptness, because we thought somehow we were deceived to think it was better than all the goodness that the Most High had done for us. So because of that, we were deceived. So in Jude it says, the bondservant of Yahushua HaMashiach, the brother of James, to those who are called. Just one moment, Sam. I have to cough. Hold on. Okay. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, so you know he's writing to the Hebrew congregation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, to the people of the Most High, to the sons and daughters of Jacob. Okay? He says contend earnestly for it. So, he says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who are long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. He's talking about angelic beings because they live longer than us, you know. They don't have the normal lifespan. Okay? So, he said, they were long beforehand marked for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our Yah into licentiousness, and they deny our only master and ruler, Yahushua HaMashiach, which is our brother. Now, I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Most High, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, another condition of slavery, our forefathers of old, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe in the wilderness. Remember, they got upset, they didn't believe, they created the golden calf, and the Most High destroyed them. And then there were other times where they rose up against Moshe. That's why you cannot rise up against your teacher. You don't know. The Most High didn't put you in that position. Don't speak evil of your teachers, because just like Moshe, they were called to help us get an understanding. Love your teachers, support them, pray for them, because they're on the front line. And when they rose up, the Most High destroyed them in the wilderness. Now he says, now I desire to remind you that, though that, I'm sorry, now remind, now I desire to remind you, though, you know all things once for all, that the Most High, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own dominion, but abandoned their proper abode. These are the watchers who came and made it with the daughters of men. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, after exhibiting as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same manner, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with Hasatan, the devil, and argued about the body of Moshe, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Most High rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, who was paid to curse the sons and daughters of Jacob who were coming in the wilderness, who were encamped in the wilderness. Balaam was paid to curse our people, but the Most High prevented him from doing it. So here it's saying that these men, these deceivers, these are a lot of the teachers that you find in the, you know, in Christianity who are teaching some false things. They are doing it for pay. And they've gone after the way of Cain. And they perished in the rebellion of Korah. This is Korah who rose up against Moshe and said, "Oh, the Most High speaks to us as well. Uh-huh. We don't have to listen to Moshe. He brought us out here to die." And then the ground opened up and swallowed him and his family and all those that were with him. We have to be very careful, family, when the Most High is sending you teachers like our teachers that he has already raised up. They've been tested by the Most High, I want you to know. The Most High has tested them already, and he will continue to test them. But when they're still standing, you better pay attention to your brothers and sisters that he's raised up and support them. Because this is what Korah did. They rose up against Moshe, and the Father was not pleased, and he destroyed them and their family. So let's not get into that position. Let's be obedient. Let's be diligent. Let's support each other, love each other, because this is what he's saying. But also, we're talking about Edom's behavior here too, okay? So it says, "These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feasts. When they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, they are clouds without water, carried along by winds. They're autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. These are not the dry bones that will live again. Know that. They're wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. They're wandering stars, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever." And about these also Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Most High came with many thousands of his holy," or his Kodesh ones, "to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way." Now this ties us right back to Psalm 5, the ungodly. The deeds that they did. This ties us back to Edom and the Amalekites and the nations, all the stuff they did against the sons and daughters of Jacob. And it ties us back to our rebellion, our families, our Most High, our ancestors' rebellion against the Most High. You can't rebel against the Most High and prosper. It will never happen. Not in a million years. It won't happen. And the Most High is so gracious. He does not have to continue to choose us as his people because of our stubbornness, our hard-headed, our stiff-necked nature and selves. He doesn't have to do it, but he does it because he loves us, and not just because he loves us. He made a covenant with Abraham, And he told Abraham he's going to do it. He already knew what he was getting himself into. Because remember, the Most High is eternal. He can see the beginning and the end at the same time. And he can see the middle too. So he already knew that we were going to be a hard-headed people. He knew it was going to be an uphill battle and a challenge dealing with us. But our Most High is a Yah of integrity, and he loves us, and he had a greater plan for us. He also knew that he would be able, even through our stiff-necked and stubbornness, to purify us and to give us a new heart and a new spirit and a new understanding and eventually a new body. So he saw the difficulties ahead. It's just like a person wanting to get married, and they go through counseling, and they find out all the dirt they can find about their future spouse. And then they can either make a decision and say, hey, you know what, your stuff is too extra for me, and I don't think I want to deal with it. Or they can say, you know what, I understand all you've been through, and I understand you might still have some baggage, but I want to walk with you, and I want to help you heal through your baggage, and I want to be committed to you, and I want to walk with you until the last day. I want to walk with you until your last day or my last day. See, that's what the Most High said to us. You guys have baggage. Your stuff is too extra for me. You guys are extra, extra people because you're the most stubborn, the most stiff-necked of all the nations, even the pagans. These pagan people will come and love the Most High greater than us. And we will fight and argue and tooth and nail, kicking and screaming, disbelieving the Most High, always wanting to be like everybody else. And the Most High said, you guys are the worst. You are worse than the terrible twos. You are the worst behaved people that have ever been on this planet. But I love you. I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you to be my special, peculiar treasure. I'm going to take that behavior out of you, and I'm going to change you in the course of time. But because of our nature, it brought us into all these troubles. And he uses the troubles to refine us, as silver is refined in the fire. So that's why Edom was used, family, to bring us to this point where the Most High could really get our minds. And I think this generation that we're in, and this contemporary generation that we're in right now, because we're all different ages, but we are all of a generation of sorts in this time period, the Most High says, you guys are the ones, I believe, that as our forefathers were chastised, that we're malleable in his hands. We're pliable now as a people. And he said, this is the generation I choose to bring out of the captivity. Just like in the wilderness, he couldn't use the mothers and the fathers and the grandparents, everybody that was over 20. The people had Egypt in them so bad that it didn't matter what the Most High did for them in the wilderness. They were never going to turn. So he killed them in the wilderness. He killed them off. And he told them they would never go into the promised land because he couldn't take the Egypt out of them. He couldn't take the condition of slavery. He couldn't take the sin. They couldn't take the taste of leeks and the cucumbers out of them. Even though they were oppressed and in bondage, all they wanted to do is be like the Egyptians. And a lot of us, that's all we want to do. We want to get rid of Edom. We want to get rid of the oppression. We want to overturn the United States government. We want to turn over every government that he's put us in so we can just replace the people and be just as wicked as them, but we're on top now. See, I'm the king of the mountain. I'm ruling this thing here. You see, I got this. I'm the bad mamma jamma of the century. But we don't want to turn. And the Father says, I don't have no time for that, and I don't have any pleasure in that. That's not why I have brought you to this point of deliverance, so you can just mimic Edom and do what he's doing. That's not what the Most High's program is all about. That's why we have to go back and get the precept from the biblical teachers, the right biblical teachers. Because in the church system, they'll tell you you're going to be the head and not the tail, meaning they'll tell you a prosperity message, and then the next, what they're saying is you're going to replace Edom and become Edom. You're going to drive the fine car. You're going to have the best house. You're going to be on top now. And they call that a blessing. But there's no repentance. There's no deliverance in that. It's not fulfilling the plan of the Most High. And we see that. We see that. We see our Hebrews that have gone over to the dark side as spiritual leaders in the church system. And what are they doing? Diamond rings. They got their program, their television program. They're driving their fancy car. What are they doing for the people? What are they doing for the Most High? What are they teaching? What kind of meal are they serving up for the Most High's people? people are still in bondage. And these people are high-siding, king of the mountain. That's not what the Father wants for us. That is not what the Father wants for us. That's our wicked nature going back just like we did in ancient times. We want a king. We want to be just like the nations. We want a king. We want to be like the nations. That's all that is. Now these people are puffed up, and they run in their little puffed up circles, and they're not doing anything to please the Most High at all. They're taking the money. They're doing exactly what the wicked are doing in Psalm 5. They haven't learned. That's what they wanted. They thought that was blessing and prosperity. Who's giving them that blessing? Is it the dragon that's giving them their power? Because it sounds like the dragon is giving them their power, and they can't see it. They think it's the Most High. It's just like on our dollar bill. It says, in God we trust. What God? What God are they talking about? They're talking about the dragon. They're talking about Hasatan, Satan. They're worshiping the devil. The Most High is not calling his children to worship Satan. Satan has his own kids to do that. We're not the children of the devil. Satan is not our father. He's not our father. They do the lust of their father. We're supposed to do the will of ours. We're supposed to make a distinction between good and evil. That's what the Most High is calling his Hebrew children to do. That's what he's been always trying to get us to understand. We need to have an understanding. We need to understand who we really are. Go back and get that precept, because it's out there. It's in the programs and the shows that I talked about, and our teachers in the Biblical Hebrews. It's in the Huanet. It's under Brother Dawid Yacobaz. It's under Yahya Bandalay. I mean, there's so many, but I'm calling out people that have integrity, because we do have some Hebrew teachers that are doing a good work, but they don't have the proper integrity all the way through. And I'm talking, when I call out these names, I'm calling out people who have integrity through and through in their teaching. It's consistent, and they love the Most High. You're not going to hear them. You might hear some anger, and they may say a one or two colorful words, but you're not going to hear a filthy program. You're not going to hear a foul teaching. You're going to hear a righteous teaching. You're going to hear a strong teaching. You're going to hear a well-balanced message, and that's why I'm referring to my brothers and sisters continually, because I want you to have more avenues of knowledge as we learn. And I want you to tap in, because the Most High is already using them greatly to do a great work, and they are standing. Okay, not saying that anyone else is not standing, but we want to eat from the right table. We want to get a good meal. We want to be nourished properly, because the Torah is like bread. It's a meal. We have to eat it. We have to digest it properly. And these teachers, these brothers and sisters, are preparing for us a well-balanced meal. A well-balanced teaching. They're giving us precepts, examples, understanding, so we can grow in the Most High. You know, so this is what we're talking about. So the Most High is calling for a different stand between his people. I'm gonna go on and finish this Jude. And I was at... Okay, and I'm gonna be in 13. Wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. And about these also Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Most High came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all. To the Hebrew first, and also to the Gentile nations, and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way. That goes for the Hebrew first. And of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, who? The Most High. These are grumblers, finding fault. See, we're good at that. We are expert fault finders, you know that, as Hebrew people. Man, we can see a person, and if their shoes are the wrong color, they don't look right, we're turned off. You know, if they have two different color earrings on, I mean, you know, we just fault finding. But the Most High is trying to purify us from that. That's an ungodly spirit, as we're understanding right here. That's not godly. We gossip. We talk about each other. The Most High is hearing all this, and it's being recorded. This is what's going to judge us. He says, with the measure you meet, it's going to be measured to you again. We know we're all struggling. We know it. So why are we going to talk about our brother and sister who's struggling and we're struggling ourselves? The Most High is going to judge us the way we are casting judgment. Let's not do that, family. That's not what he called us to. That is the spirit of Satan working in our members. We got to cut that out. We have to cut it out. That came from when Hava ate and indulged with the serpent and received the two different natures, the good and the evil. We have evil inside of us. And we have good inside of us, but most of the time we only perfect the evil. So let's stop it. We have the power within us and through the Ruach to slay that evil nature. Let's slay it. Let's kill it. Let's get rid of it. Let's get it done. Let's get it done today. Let's deal with it now. Let's cut it out, because the Most High is looking for a people who are going to be kadosh, who are going to be kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy. He's not looking for filth. He's not looking for trailer trash Hebrews that can't get their act together. He's looking for upright, upstanding, righteous people who are going to do the right thing all the time, who are going to put themselves under subjection, who are going to correct themselves and do what the Most High is requiring of us. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for a one-night stand relationship, a one-moment touch with his people. He's looking for a long-term committed relationship with people he can fill with his Ruach and use as the light to the nations. So let's deal with ourselves and get it done quickly. Let's deal with this. This requires prayer. It requires deliverance. Now, most of this we can do if we just get honest enough with the Most High. But if you need help, get some help. We have teachers. We have brothers and sisters who can help you through this. They can pray you into deliverance. That can help you. They can walk with you through this. You need to do the heavy lifting, though. Don't just call your sister Jennifer and try to put it all on her. She can cast out a devil. Yes, she can help you. But you got to do the heavy lifting. This is your life. This is your life before the Most High. You have to get down and dirty and say, Father, it's me. I need deliverance, I need help, and you can call, your sister can help you, but you got to do the heavy lifting, because this is what the Most High is requiring of us. Then he can purify us, he can sanctify us, set us apart. Sanctification means to be set apart. Coming out of this world system, this Babylon, this system of Egypt, and then we can walk with the Most High the way he requires us. So this is what this is telling us here in Jude. This is going on. These are grumblers, fault-finding, are finding fault, following after their own lust. That's our lust. We have lust inside of us, and we follow it sometimes, and it gets us in trouble. That's not the Most High didn't give us that lust. That's our lust. This didn't even come from Hasatan. This didn't even come from the devil. It's our own human lust that we carry within us. It's our stuff. It's from that good and evil again, that treasure of good and treasure of evil that's inside of us, that our wonderful foreparents, Hava and Adam, gave to us by their rebellion. We're always fighting this thing. We're always fighting this thing. But is it impossible? Absolutely not. The Most High has already shown us we can get rid of it. We can deal with it. We can put it under subjection. And that's what he's calling us to, Hebrew family members. And those of you who want us to journey with us, we all have the nature of good and evil. Because all of us have come up out of Noah. We all come out of Noah. And then, of course, you know, we know that there's other stuff going on the earth, and there are some of us that are really not of Noah or Adam or Eve, you know, but we know that's going on too. But for the most of us human beings on the planet, we are coming up out of Noah. And some of us may have a hybrid spirit or whatever, but just like the Most High told Cain at that time, before he killed his brother, he said, hey, if you do well. So whether you have that pure Hebrew seed or not, and you want to serve the Most High, all he's requiring of all of us, Hebrew or not, if you do well, you will be accepted. the Most High will accept us. He really wants his children to do well. But if anyone else wants to come, you have to do well. You have to do well. And then the Most High said, you also will be accepted. But if you don't, evil lies at your door. That's within all of us, unfortunately. It's in all of us. So we have to make a choice. You know, the Most High was willing to give Cain a chance. Now, how much more does he love his own people? How much more? So let's get these things corrected. Let's move on from this always being at the repentance seat before the Most High for stuff that we need to deal with that we can deal with. And he says here, he says, but you, beloved, wait a minute, let me go back because I stopped. Let me go back. I'm sorry, family. I got lost my place. All right. These are grumblers. Let me start back at 16 so I can get back on track. These are grumblers, fault-finding, following after their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember. You, beloved, who is the beloved? It's the sons and daughters of Jacob. It's the nations that have said, we're going to make the Most High Yah our Yah. We're going to come under the commandments, precepts, statutes, and regulations that he's given his people, and we're going to sojourn with them, and we are going to live among them and obey the commandments that the Most High has given for his children to live by. So it says, but you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Messiah, Yahushua, that they were saying to you, in the last times there shall be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Ruach, devoid of the Ruach. They have not the spirit of the Most High in them. They're devoid of the Ruach, okay? They don't have it. So they cause divisions, and they're worldly-minded. They're concerned about this world that is coming to a close, this age that is winding up. Edom is the end of the world, the scripture says, and Yaakov is the beginning. We are the beginning, and the Most High is trying to bring us into another dispensation of time. And these people that are devoid of the Ruach, that don't know which way the Ruach is flowing, are causing division because they are concerned only about this world. Okay? So they don't know what's going on. We're not to follow them. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Ruach, praying in the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Most High that he has given us. The Holy Spirit is never going to lead you wrong. He's never going to tell you to kill your brother or to slash him or to say something evil. The Holy Spirit is never going to tell you to withhold your hand of good from being a blessing to your brother or sister. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you things that are full of the righteousness and the right actions of the Most High, of faith, of family, with your brothers, your sisters, your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your family members, your cousins, your community. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, is going to lead you the right way. So don't be afraid. Some people are so afraid of the Ruach of the Most High. First of all, you got to remember whose Ruach it is. It is the Most High's Ruach. You don't have to fear that. It's not a wicked spirit. It's not a wicked Ruach. It's the Most High's Ruach. We've been so mistaught coming out of the church system that we're afraid to receive the power of the Ruach in our lives. We don't understand. He said he would give us a heavenly language, and some of us are blaspheming the Ruach because we don't understand it. You may not even be walking in it. So we think, oh, there's something evil about that. Oh, I don't like that. Those people are speaking in a strange language. That comes from the heavens. That comes from the Most High. This is the Ruach HaKodesh, okay? We're not talking about the Ruach of HaSatan. We're talking about the Ruach of HaKodesh, the holy Ruach of the Most High Yah. I don't even think Satan has a Ruach to give us. He doesn't have a Ruach to give us. You can be possessed by demon spirits, but he doesn't have a holy ruach to give us, to bring us into the place of knowledge and understanding. So we shouldn't fear those things. If we're in the Most High, he's never going to give us something evil. He told us that. He said if we, evil, know how to give good gifts to our own children, how much more would the Most High give us his holy ruach? Why are we fearing the Most High's ruach? That's a deception. That's back to Hasatan telling Hava in the garden, oh, don't eat, you can eat the fruit, because the Most High knows that when you eat it, you're going to be wise. That's the kind of lie. When he tells us we don't want the Ruach HaKodesh, he's telling us a lie, because he knows that gives us power. It gives us strength. It gives us the ability to cast him out. That's why he doesn't want us to get it. He makes us afraid that, oh, something evil or something, I'm going to lose control. No, you're not going to lose control, because we don't. Our Most High is not unseemly. He's not crazy. He doesn't make you crazy. He doesn't make us crazy. He gives us wisdom. He says he's not giving us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's what the HaKodesh, the Ruach HaKodesh, gives us, a sound mind. We're not crazy. So don't fear that, most people of Jacob. That's what he wants to give us. That's his gift to us, so we can stand in this wicked world. It's our strength. It's our, like our secret weapon. It's our power against the forces of darkness, the rebellious ones against the Most High and against his people. You can pray in the Ruach, and I mean, he can do so many things. You would be, it would blow your mind. Don't be afraid. The Most High is not giving you that spirit of fear. That comes from Satan. It's not of the Most High. He has never given his children the spirit of fear, meekness, and timidity. Timidity, fear. That's not what he's given us. Now, meekness is something different. I shouldn't have mixed it with timidity. Meekness is a gentle spirit. It's strength under control. That's what he gives us, a spirit of meekness, which is strength under control, where I can, but where I want to blow you away, and I can, I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to say no. Where you offend me, and I want to crush you out, meekness says, turn the other cheek. That's what meekness is. Okay, but the Father has never given us timidity, fear. We don't have to fear, and so that's what we need to do, building up ourselves, as he says, praying in the Ruach HaKodesh. Keep yourselves in the love of the Most High, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Mashiach, Yehoshua, our brother, to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. You know, because this is a faith walk as well, still, as children, sons and daughters of Jacob. Because in this world, we only walk by what we see. We walk by sight. Let's just make it plain. I mean, it's hard for us to trust in things we can't actually see that are tangible. But some of us are doubting. We're not quite sure, because we've been so steeped in an understanding other than we are the Hebrew people, and that the Most High loves us, and that he is calling us out. So we are doubting. And that's where the work of the teacher comes in, to help us get a better understanding by convincing us through historic evidence, through scripture evidence, that we are the sons and daughters of Jacob, and that things have happened to us that because of our disobedience that brought us here. Now, the purpose of all the understanding and knowledge is to bring us back to being a people of the Most High, who are faithful, who are diligent, who are loving him, who are seeking him, who are getting their own selves under control, and who are walking with him in diligence and walking with him in faith. So this is what we have to understand. That's what the job of the Ruach is about, to help us, okay? And it says, have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others. Save them. How do you save them? Some people you just have to say, you're going the wrong way. Stop. Let me help you. Let me help you. Listen to this teaching. You know, give them a DVD, or help them to understand who they are. Help them to understand the importance of who we are as a people. Save them. Snatching them out of the fire and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. So some, you know, we have to have mercy on. We know that, you know, they may not understand, but we've got to do all we can as the sons and daughters of Jacob to remind our brothers and sisters who we are and what the Most High has called us to. And this is a continual work. We can't be nervous doing it either. Let's not be nervous. Let's make people feel welcome around us. Let's make them feel comfortable in our homes, even our family members that don't understand. This is not a point of argument and contention. Let's live a life before them that where they can see a change and where they can see the power of the Ruach working and the Most High's word working on us. Let's keep our Shabbats. Let's do all we can. Let's, you know, undertake and keep the Passover. Let's do the things that the Most High has called us to do. Let's keep his feast days holy. Let us pray. Let us walk in a way that is pleasing to the Most High so our family members can say, wow, I know that there's a change. I feel it. There's a peace. What is it? And then we can explain to them, we are returning. We are returning in our understanding as the sons and daughters of Jacob. He's bringing us out of our captivity. And this is the way he wants us to walk. He wants to bless his people with shalom, with peace. And if we are obedient, he will give us abundant shalom. And that's where he wants us to be. So let's show this with our action. Let's not talk it. Let's do it. Let's get it done in our daily lives. That's what he's saying. And he says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, all of us, which is the Ruach, which is the Most High. He says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy, and to the only Yah, our Savior, through Yahushua, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. This is what Jude is saying. So we understood that, yes, Edom did some things against us, and we outlined much of the wicked things, but we are not to hate Edom. Unfortunately, we are not to hate Edom. But there is going to come a time when the dry bones come together and the flesh is put on and all of these things have come to place that we are going to be that mighty army. And I spoke about that yesterday. We're going to be that force that's going to be, they're going to have to deal with us. And we're going to be a force to be reckoned with. We're going to be tremendous. And we are going to execute a judgment throughout the earth. That's what's going to happen. Michael is going to stand up and fight with us. Judah is going to lead the way in the battle. So there is going to come a time where there will be a physical battle and there will be physical bloodshed against the wicked. It's going to happen. But the Father is getting us ready for that. That stage is going to be set, but it's not quite ready. It's not ready for that act to take place. So we are learning the precepts of getting who we are and getting ourselves ready. But I wanted to also read in Esdras chapter 11, 39 through 46. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little clip. This song I played at the end of yesterday, and I was able to upload it. I'm going to play this as a way of a segment break before I get into, I think we are in the overtime if you came over with me. If not, you'll hear this in the archives. I'm going to play this song that I played yesterday, and it's really important. It'll come across a lot clearer this time because I did upload it. But this is to encourage us. You know, we are in the diaspora, and it has been hard for us. We have had not only double but triple and even quadruple blows from the enemy, from Edom, from the Amalekites, from the nations hating us all around. Because the Most High said it would happen. But we are also encouraged that he will undertake for us and he will take us out of here. Now, this song is called We're Leaving, and I played it a little bit at the end of yesterday's broadcast because I want to encourage my brothers and sisters to know that the Most High has this well in hand. He is not going to leave us continually as an afflicted people, as a prey to our enemies forever. He is going to bring us out shortly and soon. Now, we don't know the exact moment of our turn, of our captivity and actual coming out, but we know it hinges upon our repentance
and our willingness to follow him. So I want to play this again today to encourage you. When I come back, I will finish through Esdras and reread Psalm chapter 5, and I believe that that will conclude the message that I was trying to bring forth in Psalm chapter 5. We see that they're wicked. We know what they're doing, but that's not where he's called us to be. In our daily lives, we have to do diligence with our family members, our community, with ourselves even, with ourselves. So the Most High is getting us ready. Listen to our teachers. Please, please listen to the teachers and get the understanding that you need, because we're lacking in understanding. And the scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. I'm trying to give you wisdom. The scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get an understanding. Go back and listen to our brothers and sisters and get an understanding, because that's what we need. It's good to have wisdom, but it's better to have an understanding with that wisdom so you know how to apply it. So let me let you listen to this.
We're leaving, And from that moment, God is with us. In clouds of fire and of smoke. But Pharaoh's army seeks our light. And Moses lifts his holy hand. We have Mikvah in the sea of reeds, leaving Egypt where they stand.
All right, we're back, family, and I just wanted to I want to reread Psalm or Tehillim 5 because I'm going to add now, I'm going to do the Esdras chapter 11, verse 39 through 46, which will give us a little bit more understanding. Just what we're doing when we're reading these other scriptures is we're just giving validity where it has been written in our scriptures in other places concerning the fate of the wicked. That's why we as a people do not have to be afraid of what is going on the earth. We don't have to live in fear. And the Most High does not want us to live in fear. So I'm going to read Psalm 5 again, and then I will go into Esdras. So it says, give ear to my words, O Most High. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my Yah. For to thee do I pray. In the morning, O Most High, thou wilt hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to thee and eagerly watch. For thou art not a Yah who takes pleasure in wickedness. And all of the precepts prior to this that we were talking about, even in Jude, is talking about the wickedness. This is not something the Most High takes pleasure in. So we have to understand our ways have to come in line with pleasing the Most High, and that's what we're talking about. No evil dwells with thee, verse 4, the second part, 5, Tehillim 5 and 5. The boastful shall not stand before thine eyes. Thou dost hate all who do iniquity. Thou dost destroy those who speak falsehood. The Most High abhors the name, abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by thine abundant loving kindness, I will enter thy house. At thy holy temple I will bow in reverence for thee. O Most High, lead me in thy righteousness because of my foes. Make thy way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O Most High. By their own devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against thee. But let all who take refuge in thee be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. And mayest thou shelter them, that those who love thy name exult in thee. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Most High. Thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield. So we don't have to fear. We know that the Most High will favor all of us who take him as their refuge and as their strength. And over in here in Esdras, chapter 11, verse 39 through 46, says, art not thou
it that remains of the four beasts. Now, this is talking about, if you went into Esdras, it was talking about the vision that Daniel had, and his brother Esdras was given the interpretation, and he was talking about the four beasts that rose up on the earth and talking about the destruction in the latter days. Now, remember, the Most High did not let the angels give Daniel the revelation. He saw it. Actually, he saw it, but they told him to seal it up. It wasn't for him. It was for the time of the end. It was for our days. So his brother Esdras gets the revelation to write down for us. And it says, he's talking about the fourth beast. And he said, art not thou it that remains of the four beasts, whom I made to reign in my world? At the end of their times might come, that the end of their times might come through them. And the fourth came and overcame all the beasts that were past, and had power over the world with great fearfulness, and over the whole compass of the earth with much wicked oppression. And so long time dwelt he upon the earth with deceit. For the earth hast thou not judged with truth. Talking about this wicked beast, okay, that this nation, this power, the superpower that is over the earth, having power over everyone on the planet. For thou hast afflicted the meek. This is talking about this wicked deed, and we talked about this in Job, chapter 20, on Monday. So here in Esdras, it's talking about the same thing. For thou hast afflicted the meek, thou hast hurt the peaceable, thou hast loved liars, and destroyed the dwellings of them that brought forth fruit, and has cast down the walls of such as did thee no harm. This is that wicked deed that they're doing. They love, let's go back to Psalm 5 real quick. Psalm 5:5. The boastful shall not stand before thine eyes. Thou dost hate all who do iniquity. Thou dost destroy all, destroy those who speak falsehood. The Most High abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. The bloodshed and deceit. And then we go down into Tehillim 5:9. He says, there is nothing reliable in what they say. They're deceivers. They're liars. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. This is what the Most High says. In verse 10, hold them guilty, O Most High, by their own deceit. Devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against thee. And so, going back into Esdras 30, chapter 11, it says in 43, therefore is thy wrongful dealing come up unto the Most High, unto the Highest, and thy pride before the Mighty. The Highest also has looked upon the proud times, and behold, they are ended. They are ended. They are ended. They are ended. And his abominations are fulfilled. And therefore, verse 45 of Esdras chapter 11, and therefore appear no more, thou eagle, nor thy horrible wings, nor thy wicked feathers, nor thy malicious heads, nor thy hurtful claws, nor all thy vain body, that all the earth may be refreshed and may return, being delivered from thy violence, and that she may hope for the judgment and mercy of him that made her. So this is Esdras chapter 11, verses 39 through 46. So we see that there is an end to the wicked. We see it. And this is something that we can take a lot of courage, and we can be encouraged by, because the Most High is not going to forever cast off his people. He's not going to forever leave us into the cruel hand of the oppressor and of the enemy and of the wicked. And the devices that the Hasatan has put over us through bondage and over the earth, through snares and entrapment, through lies and deceit. Our homes will not always be plundered and taken from us, and there will not be wicked mortgages against us. There will not be devices to bring us into trouble. And this is what we have to take courage as a people. We have to take courage as a Hebrew people. We have to take courage as a people who come to trust in the name and the power of the Most High. We have to understand that the Most High sees all that this has happened, and He will deal with our adversaries. He will deal with the enemies at the gate. He will bring us into a place of restoration, of fullness, of strength, and of power. This is the work of the Most High for us, but we have to do our part as well. We have to earn it through our repentance. We have to earn it through our obedience. We have to earn it through our consistency before the Most High. That's what He's asking us to do. That's what he's calling us for at this time. We have to purify ourselves through our obedient work to the Most High, because He's looking for a people who do not have the blemishes of continual perpetual sin, a people who are willing and able to stand before, who are willing and able to stand before the Most High. Now I'm going to read some of my notes for in my first when I was did my program on Monday. I had some notes in Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open sepulcher or a grave." Okay, there's nothing in there. They flatter with their tongue. They make promises. They tell lies. They tell them through the media, through the political lies that they promise. They do it through advertising. They do it through raising up talk shows and bringing forth people to continue to spout the lies of Hasatan to the people on the earth and to the Hebrew people mostly. Who was the first liar? Who was the one who lied to Chava? We know that this is through the work of the serpent. All of this destruction and deceit that the nations are doing, that Edom did, and the Amalekites, and all of these nations that are against the Most High, they are being fueled and they are being energized and encouraged by the first liar, the one who lied to Chava and said, "Hey, you can eat that fruit. Eat it. You can do this thing. It's the Most High knows that when you do it, you're going to be wise. You can be wise." And so he encouraged her. He lied to her. He lied. So the first person who lied to Chava was the serpent. During the High Holy Days, I remember being during the High Holy Days being at a synagogue, and because I used to be in the synagogue, I came out of a synagogue situation. That's how the Most High brought me into understanding who I was as a Hebrew. I went into the synagogue and I learned, and I found many things there that were pleasant, but I found some things that I had questions about. But I remember being in the synagogue during the High Holy Days and being at during the time where they do the service all night long and they read the Torah all night long and they have teachers come up. And I remember one of the teachers was telling a story of Abraham lying to the Pharaoh, saying that Sarah was his sister, and because he feared his life. Now, if you really understood the story of Abraham and Sarah, you would understand that she was not only his wife, but she was, in a sort, his sister, and she was his niece. In other words, his brother, his elder brother, Haran, their father, Terah, lied to Nimrod. Because when Abraham was born, there was a star, much like when Moshe was born and there was a sign in the heavens. And also much like when Yahushua was born, there was a sign in the heavens. There was a star. And in the days of Abraham, the star came out. And the teachers and the people around him told him, "This is an evil sign against you, Herod. There is a deliverer that's going to usurp your throne." Not Herod, I'm sorry, Nimrod. And Nimrod became afraid, and he said, "Has any children been born in my kingdom?" And found out that Terah had had a child. But actually, Terah had had two children, two sons were born, one by his wife and one by his concubine. And Terah was summoned to stand before Nimrod, and Nimrod asked him, did he have a son? And he said, yes, my wife bore a son. And Nimrod wanted to get that child because it was the night of the child's birth, which was Abraham. It was also the night of his concubine's son's birth. We don't get the name of that child. But they both were born on the same night. So Terah feared that Nimrod's intention against his son, Avram, was not honorable. So he brought him instead the concubine's son. And when Nimrod held the baby in his arms, he threw the baby down to the ground and he killed him. He threw him down and crushed his head. And he thought that he had killed the evil seed or the omen, what he thought was an evil omen, against him by killing this child. Well, when Terah understood that he had meant to kill his son Abraham, he took and hid him. And when he hid the child, Abraham had an opportunity to grow up in an environment. Actually, he was taught by Noah and Shem, because Noah was still living on the earth at that time. And he was taught the ways of the Most High. That is how Avram found his way to the Most High. You know, I know a lot of Jewish, they try to say, well, we don't really know how he came to know that the Most High became the patriarch. They know. They know how he found it. He was taught by his great-great-grandfather, Shem, and Noah. Because Noah was still living on the earth in those days. He lived an additional number of years, I believe 300 years after the flood. He entered the ark at the age of 600, and he lived another 300 years. So, yes, he was at the time, he was there with Avram. And he taught Avram. He had all the books of Enoch. Enoch had written 365 books talking about the Most High and the glory and what happened in the world and the angelic beings, these books of Enoch. So these are the books of instruction that Avram was taught under, and he came to trust in the name of the Most High. By his ancestors, they taught him how to become. He was the only man in his generation at that time that was trusting in the Most High. Because Nimrod was a mighty hunter. He had stolen some garments from that Adam had worn when the Most High made him his first set of garments. And Nimrod was mighty. They said he was a mighty hunter before the Most High. But he was also a wicked man. He hunted the souls of men as well as animals. He hunted for them, and he brought them under his subjection and his rulership in his kingdom. And Nimrod was the king of the earth at that time, but he was a wicked king. So Avram is learning how to serve the Most High and under the care of the tent of his forefathers. Avram later paid tithing to Melchizedek, king of righteousness, Melchizedek. He paid tithing to him. That was his great-grandfather Shem. That's who he paid tithing to. And so later, Avram comes back, and he is a force to be reckoned with to Nimrod. But then when Nimrod realized, because he did some things, when Nimrod realized that he was the child, he asked Terah, you know, this is the child? And Terah actually said to him, this is the child I should have brought you, because now he's breaking my idols. Because Terah, Avram's father, was a maker of idols. He was an idolater. He was an idol worshiper. And he also made the things and sold them, and he was wealthy through that trade. Everybody in Nimrod's kingdom, and Nimrod's kingdom was vast, and everyone in that kingdom bought those idols because Nimrod taught them how to worship idols and not to serve the Most High. So Avram came back and smashed those idols, and his father got angry because Avram was now touching the seat of his money, his power, his wealth. And so he ran to Nimrod and said, hey, look, you know, some 30, 40 years ago, this is the child, you know, the child I brought you, that was from my concubine. This is the one you should have killed. because now he's messing with my money, and he's challenging me to follow the Most High, and I'm an idol worshiper, and I don't want to do it. So Nimrod got angry at Terah and said, who told you to lie to me? And Terah lied again. He lied and said it was his older son, Haran, who was about 18 years older or more than Avram. And so Nimrod had Avram and Haran thrown into the fire. And when he had them thrown into the fire, Haran, also being an idol worshiper and not serving the Most High, was consumed in the fire. But Avram, who had come to trust in the name of the Most High, was delivered inside of the fire, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were delivered in the fire. Well, Avram was delivered in the fire as well. And when Nimrod saw it, he commanded that he come out of that fire. And when Nimrod understood that the Most High was with Avram, he asked him to leave the kingdom. And that set Avram on his journey to wandering towards the promised land, the land that the Most High had promised to give. But in the meantime, Haran, his elder brother, had three children, two daughters, and a son. And so Terah, the father, took them, being their grandfather, took them as his own children, as a first generation. Kind of the same way that our father, Yaakov, took Joseph's two sons in replacement of two of his sons, and Ephraim and Manasseh came into the lineage of the 12 tribes, being grandchildren, but being in the stead as sons. So Terah did the same with Haran's children. He took the three children, the two daughters and the sons, and they became the wives of their uncles, Nahar and Avram. So Sarah became his wife. Now his father had taken her not just as his granddaughter, but as his daughter. So when Avram said, yes, she is my sister, he did not lie. She was his sister in that respect, but she also was his wife, and she was his niece. So they were blood related. They were connected. So when Avram told her to say, you are my sister, he was using the part of their relationship that would protect him before the Pharaoh. But when the Most High revealed to the Pharaoh that she was his wife, he blessed Avram. He was angry, but he blessed him, okay? Because she was his kin, she was his niece, and his father had taken her as his sister, as his own daughter. Terah had taken her as his daughter. So these are the facts around Avram. But at this synagogue, this teacher, this young man, was teaching us about the story, and he said Avram lied. And so then he said to the class, you know, we are permitted to lie. And then he said something even more strange. He says, our father permits us to lie. Now, then my sister Kaviva were there that night, and we were taking that class, and we were, you know, getting a lot of understanding and some things. But we were puzzled by, you know, where we were trying to figure out in our minds and our hearts, where did the Father say that we could lie? Because we understand the Father says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Okay, that's something that we were commanded that we should not do. And Proverbs 19:9 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. Leviticus 19:11 says, thou shalt not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. So when he said, our father permits us to lie, we were like, whoa, where is that? But he said, it's not in the Torah, it's somewhere else. Well, what we didn't know then, that we do know now, that the Jewish people worship Satan. Many rabbis have testified to this. They said most Jewish people do not like to admit, but our father is Lucifer. Lucifer, who is the dragon, the devil, and Satan. So when he said our father permits us to lie, he was not talking about the Most High.
my sister and I left that night, and we were very puzzled. And that was kind of a turning point for us in dealing, you know, in going into synagogues again. We had to wait for more precept and understanding for, because we knew we were Hebrew people, but, you know, they are saying they are Jews, which means the tribe of Judah, but they are not Judah, and they say they're Jewish, I-S-H, I-S-H. Anybody that understands English understands the rules of grammar that I-S-H means like. So they're trying to let the world know that they are like Judah, but they are not Judah. And we know that they are not Judah. And we know this now of a fact and of a truth. You know, most of the world is deceived, because the scripture also says in Revelations, I believe, or not in, in one part of the Brit Hadashah, that the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. The whole world. The whole world is deceived to believe that the seed of the serpent are the descendants of Yaakov. And when that teacher said, our Father permits us to lie, he was not talking about the Most High. John 8:44, when Yahushua confronted the people, he said, ye are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So this young man was, in a sense, telling us that his father was the devil. And we didn't know that until we got precept, we got understanding from our Hebrew brothers and sisters who were teaching the truth of the Father's word. That's when we really understood. That's when it broke the idea and the understanding that Hebrew people are not Jewish people in the sense of the Ashkenazi, the Eastern European, the Russian Orthodox Jews. We're not the Mizrahi Jews either. We are not of the same nature as the today's modern Jewish community, and today's modern Jewish community that has deceived the world to believe that they are the chosen. What they're talking about, chosen, they're not talking about the Most High Yah. They're not talking about Yahuwah. They're talking about Satan. They are chosen of Satan. They are the seed of the serpent. Now, we know that if you go back and look back into the mid 700 A.D., because the dates seem to change somewhere between 727 A.D. and somewhere between 740-something A.D., we know that the people of the of Khazaria, the people that were living in the Caucasus Mountain, converted to the Abrahamic faith and took on the title that they were the Jews, the chosen people. They also, at that time, before the diaspora, before the transatlantic slave trade, they were known as less than 1% of the world's Jewish population. But today they are considered to be 97% of the world of world Jewry. Now, when we say the word Jew, we're talking about the tribe of Judah. And we know that this group of people cannot be the descendants of the Hebrews or the biblical Hebrews, because they will tell you that they are Jewish, meaning of the tribe of Judah. But they will say, well, what tribe? Oh, I'm of Naphtali, or I'm of Dan. Well, they will tell you, you cannot be a Jew of Dan. That's like saying, okay, Judah is the tribe. You can be a Danite. You can be an Ephraimite. You can be from Manasseh, but you can't be a Jew from Manasseh. You can't be a Jew from another tribe, because each of the tribes were distinctive. There were 12 of them, and they have the world really confused. And most people do not do enough research. They are not going to search it out. They hear, oh, they're the chosen people. Give money. See, they'll give their money. They're thinking they're doing something good for the state of Israel, and, oh, these Jewish people, oh, they're the chosen. Of whom? Of whom are they the chosen? They're the chosen of HaSatan, their father. Their father was a liar from the beginning. They are coming out of the serpent seed line, and they used to be proud to call themselves the seed of the serpent, or the serpent people. They were proud of that title. They were very proud of that title. But you got to listen to Brother Dawid's program. I can't remember which one, but he actually goes through that. and he talks about why they converted to the Abrahamic faith. And I don't know actually if he did a recording of that. I think he did that on a Skype call we were on, and he really broke it down. It was very, very powerful. I don't know if he's made a recording of it, but he may have made one on whoanet.org. You have to check it out. But he actually broke it down and told us how these people and why they converted to the Abrahamic faith, because it had something to do with a sacrifice, and the king of their country didn't want to make the sacrifice. It was his turn. It was his turn to die, and he didn't want to do it. So they changed their faith, and he escaped death. But he also commanded his whole kingdom to do it. Now, this is historic. You can go to any Jewish encyclopedia and read their beginning, and they have done many papers. They used to be more numerous on the Internet, but they've been either taken off or hidden. But if you go and you look at some hard print books, it'll tell you. I'm not making this up. It's in their own writings. They know that they converted to the Abrahamic faith, and they are calling themselves the Hebrew people. But they don't say they're Hebrew. They say that they're Jewish, and they also say that they are the chosen. But when they say the chosen, who has chosen them? Who chose them? And they will tell you, if you go to any rabbi and you ask them point blank and say, Rabbi, I really want to understand, you know, do we really serve, you know, Lucifer? Is he our God and king? And they'll tell you, honestly, yes. They will tell you that. They will tell you that. And they're not ashamed of that, because they're getting a lot of power. The dragon has given them their power, and they are very wealthy. Now, this is not the same blessing that the father said of Abraham, that he would make us a wealthy people or a great nation. And, you know, this is something different. And they are not ashamed, and really they're not. If you approach them with the right spirit and you're not attacking them, a rabbi that you have come to know and trust will tell you the truth. I mean, they don't have a reason to lie about their origin and who they serve, because they are in power right now and they feel very, very confident in who they are. So it's not a big deal. Check it out for yourself. You know, if you come in attacking, they're not going to tell you anything. You go in humble and you sit in a synagogue for a while and you learn and you come, you're faithful, and then you want to study with the rabbi, they'll tell you the truth. They'll tell you. They'll tell you. Lucifer means light bearer. So they feel that that's a light, that's an enlightenment, and they're part of the Masonic order. And you know, the higher you get in Masonry, they tell you also too. They'll say, God, we serve God. But who is their God? Who is their God? And as you get higher into your degrees of Masonry, they'll tell you who your God is that you're serving in Masonry. You're serving Lucifer. I mean, you can ask any Mason that will be honest. I mean, you can go on YouTube. They've been confronted, and they look at you like, yes, Lucifer. He's the brother they say the brother of Jesus, but they're trying to say he's a brother to Yahushua, and they are trying to say that he's better than Yahushua, and that he's the light bearer, and that's why they follow him. So they will tell you this in Freemasonry, and also if you go to a rabbi and you come under that rabbi's trust and you ask them humbly, they won't tell you the truth. They say most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer. So when they say they're the chosen of Lucifer. They were the people of the serpent. They are the seed of the serpent. Yahushua knew that in John 8:44 when he confronted them. He says, hey, you are of your father, the devil, which is Lucifer, which is Hasatan, which is the serpent, which is the dragon, all the same. He said, so, and you do the desires. You want to do the desires of your father. This is what the Most High told Cain. See, Cain was the murderer from the beginning. But his father was the liar from the beginning, and he spoke out of his nature. See, it says, John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who committed the first murder? Cain. Who was his father? The serpent. Who is the serpent? The devil. Lucifer. Same one. He says, and he does not stand in the truth. Cain didn't stand in the truth. He killed his brother. What is the first thing the Most High asked him? Where is your brother? I don't know. I'm not my brother's keeper. He lied. Man, where did that come from? His father. He lied because it was in his nature to lie.
Okay, most people don't want to believe that Hava left that garden pregnant. She was pregnant with the seed of the serpent. She was pregnant with the seed of the serpent. It wasn't no apple that she ate. You have to get some understanding to understand the truth. There is truth in here. Why would Yahushua say such a thing to these people and tell them their origin and history if Hava just ate an apple? She didn't eat an apple. The fruit she ate was the fruit of forbidden love, forbidden romance, and she was pregnant with the seed of the serpent when she left the garden. Okay? And so you got to get some understanding on that. And so what Yahushua said then is because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. That's in him. It's in his DNA. It's in his bones, in his blood. He can't help but to tell a lie. It's just in him. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Psalm 36:12. There the doers of iniquity have fallen. They have been thrust out and cannot rise. In Psalm 91, it says, this is the one that says I'm sorry, I wrote my notes, can't even read them. Let me go to the scripture here, Psalm 91. Sorry, I can't even read my handwriting. Psalm 91:1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So we have to understand our place as Hebrew people, as people who have come to trust under the name of the Most High. We are the people of the Most High. We are not always a righteous people, but we are the people of the Most High. And we have to come to trust in the name of the Most High. We need to stand in the secret place or dwell in the shelter of the Most High, and we will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The Most High loves us. This is our destiny. This is where he's bringing us back to be a people of faith and of righteousness and to be strong and to stand before him. Family, shalom. I am going to end this psalm. I just want to give you some blessing and some peace and give you some wisdom for today and tomorrow. May Yahuwah bless and keep you. May Yahuwah make his face to shine upon you. May Yahuwah be gracious upon you and lift up his countenance unto you. And may Yahuwah grant you his shalom. Shalom, family. I'm going to leave you with Psalm 119. And I hope that you catch me again next week for the next two sessions of Wisdom of Torah Psalm series. Blessings on you. Shalom. Thank you.
Thy words were found and I ate them. Thy words became